Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Carulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up Hollywood. Nikhil is in traffic, so we don't have his annoying soundboard. So,
oh, darn.
I can think of... Here we go.
You must bow down to the almighty bunghole.
There we go.
Oh, that's is that Beavis and Butthead?
Yeah, that's Beavis and Butthead. I'm here with my good old friend. He's not old, but I've known him for a while. Adam Rose.
Yes.
Say hi to Adam.
Hi.
Hey, Adam. Hey. This is the second time you've been here. You were here a while ago talking about a comic book.
Yeah, no.
That you were in the works of creating, but now it's finally out.
It's on the shelves. It's on the shelves, on a few shelves. It's on a lot of digital shelves as well.
Really?
Yes.
Let's tell them what it is before we can tell them where they can find it. so they know what they're looking for.
Playground. Attack of the Gurglebots, is a story about this kid, Felix Tremendez, who
named after your own son?
Well,
Felix.
Yeah, he was the influence or the inspiration. Like my wife was pregnant at the time, I believe, we just had Felix, and the name just stuck with the story. But this kid, he suddenly is imbued with the powers of the playground. Any playground game he plays is real. Freeze tag, he can freeze you. Simon says,
really? Only in the parameters of said playground.
That's right. That's right.
Nice.
Yes.
Interesting.
And, like TV tag.
Oh, look who's here. Nikhil showed up.
Hey.
Nikhil's here.
Yeah. How you doing, man?
Nikhil just showed up, everybody.
Right.
He's got a Van Gogh Stormtrooper t-shirt
right.
on. That is
mess around.
That's impressive.
So Adam was just introducing us to his comic book called The Playground.
Oh, right.
Where the protagonist is a little kid named Felix.
I remember we talked about that last time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And it's finally out.
How long ago was he here? It was like 3 years ago?
No.
2 years ago?
Maybe a year
He
and
says
half.
5 years ago.
No.
I wanted
like,
to
we
say,
weren't
was,
here 5 years
no,
ago.
No, for sure.
It felt very long ago.
Maybe 2 years.
Okay.
Maybe, but I think even sooner.
I guess I was just so excited to come back.
See?
That's what it was.
You made it happen, though, right? What have you been up to?
Well, just getting this finally sealed and delivered.
It's on the shelves.
That's awesome.
You can buy it.
That had to be a great feeling when this arrived at your doorstep.
I mean, because you're a lifelong comic book fan.
Yeah.
To the point of where, like, your comic books actually got stolen out of your garage and it made the news.
It made KCAL.
Wow.
And,
really?
His entire comic book collection got stolen out of his garage.
30 years.
What was the value of it? Do you know?
Well,
estimated value.
In love or dollars?
Dollars. Oh. We know love. It's not. You can't. There's no price tag on it.
It's priceless.
It's priceless.
I think we're at least saying like 15. Or maybe that's too much. Maybe like 10.
10,000.
Yeah. Let's just say 10, probably, because the insurance didn't come close to that.
Jeez.
But yeah, it's also all about like. The first comic book my grandfather got me at a store when I was like 10 years old. It was a Doctor Who comic.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But,
That's a tough loss, dude. Like, that's crazy.
It took about a few weeks for me to go back to a comic book store. And like, for a second there, I was like, well, am I ever going to buy a comic book again? And I was like, well, yeah, I kind of.
Like, damn right.
Damn, yeah.
You can't let that stop you.
They're not getting me.
But you know what? It is deflating because it's like you build something for so long. Did it start with your dad or your grandfather's comic book collection being passed down? Or was this all yours?
They were baseball card guys.
And they're like, Adam, you're not an athlete, so here, read comic books.
Pretty much. But no, it was just them randomly sending them to me when I was in summer camp. My grandparents, this out of the blue, who I don't know if they knew what a comic book really was.
What was your most valuable comic in the collection, do you know?
maybe when Robin
got killed
by the
Joker. You'd have like a G.I. Joe number two or something like
that. Well, I had a Submariner.
Wait, I have that. That's the only valuable comic I have.
The Death in the Family?
Yeah.
That's a pretty high value.
Really?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe there's more out there.
Well, if it's got to be original, not a reprint.
Right, that's right.
No, it's an original. It's from like 88.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
See?
More recent, though, I mean, Captain America, when what was that big old thing that happened? The Tea Party. That's right. The Tea Party movement. Like a very recent comic. If you got the first edition, they had these like protesters in the background that were kind of making fun of Tea Partiers that Marvel took out in the second print.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's like a comic that's worth like at least $100 just because they made fun of Tea
Don't
Party.
Tread on me in the background or something.
What's a Death in the Family worth so I know what I'm holding on to?
I'd guess
ballpark.
I mean, in the hundreds.
Okay.
I'm just saying accumulating wise, I have a lot of comics, or I had a lot of comics, but no, nothing like.
No, I just want to hold on to it.
If you do want to hold on to it. You do.
Okay.
Yeah, if you had the original Watchmen.
Okay.
Forget about it. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, what's like that worth?
I mean, I couldn't. A lot. I mean, maybe at least. I mean, comic books, a lot is relative. I mean, in recent years, like.
Yeah, if you can get a few $100 for a comic book, that's lot of money.
I mean, you got to go back to like pristine like stuff from the 60s, 50s, 40s for like thousands and thousands.
You're not getting like an action comic, Superman, $2 million
comic.
The
cool thing about comic books is they never really depreciate. Like basketball cards, they totally depreciate.
Oh, no, comic book cards depreciate.
Really?
Most of like my current comic books are worth less than I paid for them.
Hmm.
But they're fun to read.
Yes. No, that's... how many comics do you think you have, grand total?
Right now? Well, you know...
Did you replenish the collection?
I mean, much to Sigrid's chagrin, I still keep getting them, so I have...
Did you go back and get any previous issues that had gotten stolen that you loved just to have them again?
That leaves... Every time I see them, like, in a comic book shop, or if I go to a comic book convention, I see the ones that I lost, that just... It hurts.
Yeah,
like, I saw,
sucks.
Like, the Wolverine versus Hulk, which I have, the original appearance of that situation, or the Wolverine versus Captain America. Basically, Wolverine versus a lot of different people. I had all the original appearances of that. It hurts to see.
Well, he was... Wolverine was just created to be someone to battle the Hulk. Like, he wasn't really...
It's true. Well,
supposed to be his own thing. It was just supposed to be like, hey, is there someone to fight the Hulk?
And he did all right.
Eddie knows
a lot.
I think Eddie did it.
Maybe I did it.
I haven't checked Eddie's garage.
No, but the weird thing is that somebody had to know...
That's what I've been hearing about for years. That is the first thing out of everybody's mouth when they hear, but somebody had to know.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, we're talking 15 long boxes, each one weighing about 50 pounds.
And they broke into your garage?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I know.
That had to be a comic book savant, I guess, or some collector somebody knew.
They had to have like some super comic book fencing connection, but I don't know if that exists. I mean, it's not like...
I mean, it's like I one time when I was a kid, my friend and I went to a comic book or a baseball card. We went to like a convention, comic book convention or whatever, and they had baseball cards and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And there was like a stack of, at the time, Ken Griffey Jr. rookie cards, which at the time were...
They were $42.
Ridiculously, like, valuable.
Yeah.
Not even, but back then when everyone thought he was going to be the greatest baseball player of all time, and my friend just, like, swiped, like, five of them off. They just took them. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, you know what?
He ended up reselling them and making and he wasn't, like, a huge baseball person. He just knew that these things might be valuable, and he swiped them and then went and sold them.
Well,
Eddie's telling you that he hangs out with some shady people.
I'm just saying I might know who got your comics.
Well, the other great theft of my life was back in the early 80s.
Is it your virginity?
Well, not in the early 80s. That was the mid 80s. No, Bubble Yum, Bubblicious. They had this like raffle with He-Man. And if you got this particular wrapper in your little five-pack of gum that said you won, it meant you won the entire He-Man collection.
All right.
And I got it.
You got the whole...
Put it in an envelope. I was away at an overnight summer camp, and everybody in my bunk knew I got it.
Oh.
And it was gone.
Well, that's where you got to...
Wait, you put it in an envelope and you didn't mail it?
Well, I put it in...
Somebody stole it.
I just was waiting to go home and, collect...
No, that's where you got to put it in a balloon and stick it up your ass.
Well, I would just...
You see this watch?
That's the only way to get through summer camp with anything valuable.
Damn.
You got to pocket that thing.
You're hanging out with thug lives over here, dude.
You seen that documentary
about He-Man toys like on Netflix?
Oh, yeah, Netflix.
Man, they're all like, it's ridiculous. If you got the Skeletor battle armor that switches and changes, it's like, you could get a college education with just that guy.
Really?
No, but close.
No, I'm exaggerating for dramatic effect.
What college? Maybe BCC? That's funny. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it's but yeah. So we're talking about all the things that have been stolen, but I'm still writing them. I'm still making them because I do love the medium. I think comic books, they are just transforming everything. I mean, for better or worse. Yeah, Black Panther's out right now. Fantastic movie, right?
Right.
Some people, they're having a little superhero fatigue. I mean, I even can admit I'm having a little bit of, like, superhero movie fatigue, but I love them, and I love what they're doing for all kinds of just genres and cultures and whatnot, just bringing everybody up onto the big screen and maybe getting people to read them.
I think what I love most about comic books and even the superhero movies, even when they're bad, it's still just a total escape.
That's, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what I love most about all of them. So it's
except,
like,
for DC movies.
Well, DC movies, they're just frustrating to watch.
I don't get it. Why can't they get it? I don't know what's going on there.
They need to hire.
Well, I think they need to hire someone who's actually read those characters.
But Geoff Johns is with them.
Now, right?
He's been there for a little bit.
Was he involved? He wasn't involved with, like, Batman or Superman.
No.
That was pre him. He got involved with
Wonder Woman?
Wonder Woman.
That was good.
I liked it. I was still on the fence, but I thought that was...
No, I thought it was good. I didn't think it was like... Wow.
I thought you hated it.
No, I didn't hate it. I hated the third act.
I agree with you. Well, it's the same as every one of those movies.
Yeah, like, the third act was terrible.
Terrible CGI bad guy, and he's just like lots of debris everywhere.
Yeah,
and
just terrible third act.
Like getting stabbed.
First two acts I thought were great.
Yeah.
Terrible third act.
But Justice League, I was like, meh.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it was... Even Black Panther, like a lot of people loved it. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was...
Black Panther was good. I understand the social impact of it. I understand. Same with Wonder Woman. I'm like, okay, this is why people... certain groups are hold this movie such high regard. Because, yeah, it is a great thing. But in the spectrum of superhero movies, it was a good superhero movie. It wasn't like...
Well, I think what they can now do with the characters of Wakanda is huge. Like the
They're going to be so vital in fighting Thanos in Infinity War.
Well, and in the comic books, Marvel's going to send T'Challa and Wakanda to the stars. They're going to be like just colonizing. They kind of reversing the whole colonization thing and taking over the universe. Like the Kree, the Skrulls, everybody better watch out because Wakanda's coming.
There's going to be a lot of Wakanda movies, you think?
Well, I think that they could end up being like some series, like a Star Trek. When's it been an all-black, like kind of hard science fiction show of any kind?
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to bring all that to the forefront now.
Well, the one thing I do like about it, too, is that it makes them, you know, usually when they put like African-Americans in a superhero movie, they're not like this supreme role. They're actually like a villain that dies or like... You know, it's not a really big role.
No, they're the badasses now.
Yeah, and now that's what I like about it. But there were some parts where I was like, oh, man, they could have made this so over-the-top awesome. And it just would have been the best. Because that's how I was hearing a lot of the hype. But it was cool. Let's talk more about your comic, because this is amazing.
So, yeah, no, it's out. And I just got a good review, like a first review by Pullbox.com. They were really kind to take a look at it and spread the word. And, it's geared towards, like, kids, like, try and get them outside some more. Like, get them, like, unplugged from their screens and their
iPads. Go outside and read a comic book.
Yeah. I mean, there's a backup story called Hobby Squad about these kids who have, like, powers connected to old school hobbies. Like, a girl called
was
Stickers.
I remember before when a long time ago, we used to hang out more.
I miss you.
I miss you too, buddy. You used to have Super Mall Man.
I still have that on a
show. Was that sort of a...
That was the idea of the concept of that. Yes. Geocentric kind of power.
Right, where he had all his superpowers in the mall.
Yeah, that's
and this
right.
Guy, this kid has all his powers on the playground.
Yeah, no, I wrote that and it's like in a computer. But no, this is this is like for kids, like it's like Colton's age through like 11 or maybe 12.
What is the reading level on it? Do you know? Do you have like the reading level assessed on it?
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, we're talking 8.
Can Nikhil read it?
Some words I cannot.
That's limiting. No, eight to ten.
Mm-hmm.
I love the illustrations too.
Oh, yeah, no, it's I mean, so there's a couple cool backup artists in there too. The main guy's Charles Tofield, amazing guy. He did the main story, and then we got Shauna in there for the backup Hobby Squad story, and this guy Trevor did another silly little goofy story.
Kind of a mix of...
how hard was it to get it published? How long of a journey was that?
It was a many-year journey. I had this one publisher that was very interested, and then when things were delayed with us getting all the pages in, they had to move on to some other ideas, and then I got lucky... after just kind of lots of research and whatever, and I found Marcosia out of England.
And that's their publisher, Marcosia?
Marcosia is the guys. They've been great, and they took it over for us, and here it is. So it's been doing well. I mean, it's only been out since January 8th.
Okay.
And I'm like learning the ropes of trying to just get the word out, and I got to start thinking about hitting cons. I'm going to WonderCon. I don't have a table, but I'm going. Right. I'll be walking around it.
You're not getting the vendor's pass?
I'll have the pro badge.
All right.
But that's all. I mean, I'll have like postcards. I'll walk around with that, and I'll just try to say hi to people, and you know.
Are there publishers? Can you meet publishers at?
Yeah.
But you can't do that. You have a publisher now, so that'd be kind of weird.
Well, maybe for other things.
Right.
Other projects, like the Hercules story.
Right.
I have this guy, Tony, he's illustrating for me now. And so, yeah, it's about like meeting different people, getting other people to pick it up, maybe some other stores to
other
pick
stores,
it up.
Yeah, I would imagine other stores. And
like that's kind of the Willie Loman thing right now I'm doing. I'm going door to door because, you know, they're out of England, so they don't know a lot of stores out here. So I've been to like Comic Verse Toys in Eagle Rock. They were awesome and picked one
up. So right now it's in Golden Apple.
It's in Golden Apple Comics. It's in,
which is on Melrose Boulevard.
Comics Verse Toys in Eagle Rock.
Okay.
And
you got them all in there yourself.
Yes.
You walked in the front door.
That's right.
Can you put this on your shelf?
Yep. Vroman's.
That's awesome.
Pasadena.
That's great.
That's a big one. That's awesome.
And I'm talking to Earth 2 just down the road here in Ventura.
Now, does the publisher have any sort of, can they help with that at all? Or is that more of like, do they put it online?
Yeah, they have it online.
They have it online.
And they sell it through Comixology.
Okay.
So you can get it in Amazon through them, Barnes & Noble through them, and Comixology. So if you want the digital version of Comixology, Amazon and Barnes & Noble, they'll send it to you.
And how are the digital sales going for him?
I think good. They said they won't give me any specifics other than they said saying it's exceeded their expectations.
Okay. So they expected like two copies.
They expected like two to sell four. And they've sold four.
Well, amazing.
So that's
congratulations.
Double. I mean, I'm pretty happy with that. Yeah.
Let me ask you like a story about the creation of the comic. Did you kind of sketch out where you wanted your characters for the dialogue, or did you write the entire story and then just submit it to the illustrator?
I wrote the whole thing like a, I mean, you know, there's different ways to write a comic script. Like Stan Lee used to kind of just give an overview, and like Steve Ditko, who was a Spider-Man creator, would like do all the art, and then Stan would go back in and fill in the balloons. That was like the Marvel method.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how many guys still do that there, but that was what they originally did. This was like a whole script where I had the panel, like panel one, I described what was in it, what dialogue was in it, and this or that. And then Charles would go and he'd show me his pages, and we'd have like Skype meetings because Charles lives in Maryland, and we would just talk like on a weekly basis for a couple years, and we just kept on back and forth, and we got it to where we wanted it. And then I had these other guys in the meantime, when I finally realized like the pace of things, like I had these guys do some backup stories. So like that's why Shauna was able to do the Hobby Squad backup story while Charles was finishing the main story, just to really kind of build it up.
That's amazing.
And that's just, you know, that's, you got pencils, inks, color, lettering. It's a whole, you know, and then editing, which is, you know, littlest typos can go right by you sometimes.
And were there variations on the characters, like the looks of them?
Oh, yeah. Well, in fact, one funny thing about the main character is, and because they're a British publisher, the original, like, picture of Felix in the back, like there's a poster of him
really
in the
bad
back.
Teeth.
He was going like this. He had two fingers up, which in England means
F you.
I mean, F you. Yeah. I didn't know if we could say that here.
So, oh, yeah. You can see the internet. There's no rules.
They said, we love everything. We love the posters of them, but you got to give me a different finger pose for
him. So you gave
him
the old one.
So he just did, yeah. Just
the old
bird,
American
F you. Flipping the bird. Just like, look at me. I'm a kid that's saying F you, pal.
So, awesome.
No, so we got rid of all the swears. But we didn't get rid of the squirrels urinating on a meteor at the beginning.
Oh.
But you can't really tell unless you're looking for it.
Okay, so that's like a little Easter egg.
It's an Easter egg.
Easter egg of urine. Squirrels giving a golden shower to a meteor.
Golden showers.
Because it encourages eating, because the meteor hits some broccoli that Felix eats that gets the powers in the playground. Because it's a garden at the school.
So parents would love to have their kids read this.
I would hope, because it's like triple threat, like getting the food, the healthy foods. It's getting you outside, and then the Hobby Squad's getting them to play things other than Minecraft. I know you love Minecraft.
And then
so
the parents donate 20% of their income to you.
Yes.
Every month for the rest of their life.
Well, I think that's
it's like a Scientology thing.
That would
it's
be
good for you.
And it took you about 4 or 5 years to do.
Yeah, all told. I mean, I have other stories for these characters like in ready to go, and I'm just, you know, it's a process of getting back up and going and running again.
And how much is the comic for somebody who walks into a store?
Yeah, 14.
Small price to pay for five years of your life.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think Eddie's just
because it's almost the size of a graphic novel. Almost, I mean, it's thick. It's not like a comic book.
No. It's definitely in the, you know, there's that whole debate about what's the difference between a comic book and a graphic novel. I mean, that the primary difference is like this is more than like a 22-page issue.
Yeah.
This is like 50 pages.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, a slimmer graphic novel. It is not The Dark Knight Returns.
And would you make it like a series, like everyone would be this long, or is this kind of like...
You know, that's a great question. I mean, if I went to back to like single issues, then we're talking 22-page issues that you then put into a trade. But I have like, putting in a story, because little kids love, like, they want what's more. They don't want to have something end. And if they're going to go back to it, they want it to have some substance. Like Diary of a Wimpy Kid, like Captain Underpants.
Right.
Those are stories that go on for a little longer than your average like 22-page comic. So yeah, I think... waiting to have something a little like thicker is the way to go for kids. They want to have a story they can kind of immerse themselves
in.
Yeah,
like Colton at home, he's read like all the Captain Underpants books, and he's into Dog Man now. And
yeah,
it's like,
we love Dog Man.
And they're thick books.
Yep.
And they're like 80 pages, and he'll just sit there and go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like once they get sucked in, it just draws them in, and they don't shut it.
No, it's got to be longer than the average like Batman single issue.
Yeah, because those get annoying because you're like, it's awesome. Done?
So God. Awesome. Now, and what's the, like, after this, would you want it to be made into a cartoon?
Well, I mean, if you're asking, yeah, I even wrote a screenplay, like an animated feature-length version of it. I wrote a pilot. You know, I've had a lot of time while the artists have been working, so I kept just I wrote it in different ways, and I continued the story that's like an expanded version. So, yeah, I have... a feature-length version. I have a pilot version. It's you know, I'm realistic, but you know, of course, if anybody wanted to take it on, like, you know, Amazon Prime, they'd be great for it. But anybody, Eddie, you want to take it on?
Someone take it on.
And you've been working on some other things as well. Right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I write like crazy. I just wrapped up a good old-fashioned novel, but it's not a lighthearted novel. But then, I wrote a screenplay about my comic books being stolen with this partner of mine, Jamie. He was like kind of pivotal in getting me off my ass and writing that. And I'm almost done with that. And so, yeah, I've been keeping busy.
Some wounds cut deep.
Writing that helped. I mean, it's in the fictional version. He gets everything back. He gets revenge. It's kind of like Death Wish meets The Hangover.
I like that.
And Falling Down. Actually, Falling Down, you remember that, Michael Douglas?
Yeah.
Huge influence, except he's not mowing anybody down, and he doesn't have like a bitter ex-wife. He just has a bitter wife. Get it? Bitter? Better?
Good, bitter,
yeah.
Worse.
So what was it like when you got you actually saw it and like...
Well, I mean,
hard copy of it.
I was saving it.
Because it's like a comic book fan your whole life, and then you finally wrote one, and someone actually published it, and now you're holding it in your hands. It's like, this feels like a real comic book.
It was a giant relief.
Yeah.
I mean, it was about just the years of just trying to get this done and, like, just rejection of other ideas that I had put out before this. You know, just like anything that's in the world of, like, creativity, there's rejection.
Yeah, that's all there is. That's all there is.
Having this little sliver of like recognition of just this is done and this is out and some people are interested in it, it felt amazing. But then the most important people for me were my wife and kids looking at it. I kind of kept it from Sigrid and my kids from even seeing it as it was being made. I don't know, something in the back of my head, I was like, well, if I want them to see the complete thing.
Yeah.
So they did, and just seeing, well, you know, Felix and Caroline kind of like, they were like, oh, wow, can we watch TV? They shrugged their shoulders.
Yeah.
But, you know, Sigrid was, yeah.
They won't appreciate it until they're older. You're like, oh, my dad wrote a comic.
Yeah. And then the local store, like Ace at Comic Verse Toys in Eagle Rock, he was awesome. He let me do like a little table thing there. Like he bought like a bunch of them from me, and like, people came in and like let me, you know, I got to sign it.
You can do a live reading and little character voices?
I would.
You should.
No, I mean, I'm trying to. I am, because I also, as a teacher, I would love to, like, I'm starting to try to get into, like, libraries and stuff, do workshops. Like, I don't want to just be like, oh, here, come buy my book. I want to, like, have kids learn how to create their own characters. write like a 2 or 3 page, 4 panel each, like story. Like really just teach them the basics of storytelling through this form.
Well, you teach. That's your profession right now. That's what keeps you.
Keeps me afloat.
Well, yeah.
Keeps
and
me
so
going.
You are a teacher, so you are naturally inclined to want to teach people.
Yes.
How to do things.
That's right.
That's kind of a way to combine.
That's like kind of a goal. I just talked
to a
library.
Did you tell your students
about it? They found out about it because I was trying to, I didn't want to like get into the shameless promoting of it at school. But no, some kids, they've been nice about, saying,
Wait a minute. You spent 5 years of your life Skyping with an illustrator across the country.
Yeah, in Maryland, yeah.
You finally get the comic book, and you don't want to. What grade do you teach?
Seventh, and
you don't want.
Well, it's middle school. Yeah, it can be rough. You don't know. You don't know how seventh graders going to look at that and go, Mr. Rose.
No. They know now, and in fact, my school, they have a bookstore, and the head of that, she's awesome. She got a bunch of them. She's letting me do like a signing workshop-y thing there in April.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm pretty stoked. They've been really, really cool about it, so I can't complain.
And how does it work? Does the publisher like arrange any kind of like comic book signing?
No, yeah, I mean,
you're just on your own.
I'm on my own. They, they just don't have that presence here. Like if I were in England, they could maybe do something, but here it's like up to me to just knock on the doors.
They can't put it in stores in England anywhere.
I think they might have them in stores there.
Really?
I don't know though. I mean, they're not.
So they're just you could be like huge in England. You wouldn't know. They're just keeping you quiet while they're just counting the dollars.
He's like searching for Sugar Man, the comic book version.
I should get it to London soon. I've never been.
Just go in disguise, wear a trench coat, hat, walk around the comic book shops.
Well, isn't it just crazy? It's like you have a publisher, you have a product, took so long, and it's like I always get frustrated with any kind of company that has content, and they just don't push it. They don't make any effort to market it. They don't make it, and that's how you make the sales. If you don't push it, market it.
No, you're right. Course. I mean,
it's everything.
I'm learning that I have to. I mean, I'm not good at this, like the self-promoting thing. I'm trying to figure it out. Like, I don't know, like, what's the faux pas limit on Facebook? Like, how many times can you post about something like this before people are like, I'm going to just unfollow that guy because that's too many.
I mean, at the end of the day, does that really matter?
No, it doesn't. Right. You're right. But so, I go all the way back to like my old days at Golden Apple and then the coffee shop with Ed here. Like that was like, just getting our little stack of comics and then like writing sketches. Like that was like a best of both worlds. Like I was in my comic book world and in the comedy world. And this has some humor in it too. And it's, kind of like a production of that time, just of creativity and what I'm passionate about.
And how do you go from that to a novel that's like revenge? Revenge driven.
Totally different styles. I mean, that there's like no holds barred, and I've been just writing short stories forever, like adult oriented ones,
like sexy stories. Well,
I knew I said adult. I mean, there can be some racy moments in them. I just don't hold back as far. There's no like the editor in me is not on. He doesn't come in until much later. Things are like inappropriate.
So you get super graphic
if need be.
Nice.
So I mean, switching into like writing for adults is just, or I mean, you got to write from who you are. I mean, you're a singer songwriter. Yep. I mean, you write just whatever your truth is, right?
I always feel like I write what I want to hear.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you obviously made a comic book. You write what you want to read.
Write
what you know there's something missing that you can contribute.
Right.
And it's something you want to listen to, or I mean, read. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like the
yeah, I think the minute you start editing yourself, then you're not doing yourself justice. And then why are you doing it?
Right.
I mean, you got to love it. I mean, after all these years, if you're not loving it, then what are you doing?
Yep.
I mean, just that's not going to work out anymore.
Well, it's also the power of intent. It's like, what is the motivation behind your characters? What is the motivation of
your
story?
Oh, yeah.
That's so important. And it's like, it's fulfilling because you're in this world. Like, it's also escapism as you're creating it. That's probably the biggest reason,
100%.
Right? I mean, so it's like you're in this world that you're creating for people to enjoy.
No, you hit the nail on the head. It is like escapism. I mean, you were like bringing up just going to the movies as an escape. Writing is that escape as well. Like, if I don't get it in a week, I feel like gross. I feel like I haven't worked out in years.
Yeah.
I mean, I need it. It helps. I mean, it's like how Eddie is with the Redskins.
That's a sore subject, Adam. Let's get on the wraps.
They got Alex Smith. I mean, the world is a better place.
It is true, because I think Cousins is...
Okay. Yeah. But this is, we can't talk about football here, right?
No, we can talk about football.
Okay. A lot happened today.
The big free agency day.
Big day.
Big day in free agency.
The Rams running back went to Kansas City, too.
No, Gurley is still around.
Gurley.
No.
Cornerback.
Oh, is it the cornerback?
Tremaine Johnson.
Oh, that's right.
Went to.
Well, it looked like he running back with all the video footage, so. Anyways.
Yeah.
So, now, when is the novel being published?
Oh, well.
Same publisher? I assume not.
I mean, no, I don't have, I haven't, I got to start, like, sending it out, I suppose, and hoping for the best. No, I haven't even begun that journey. I mean, I'm just wrapping up the editing and all that stuff, and then we'll see what happens.
How long is it?
Well, the one about my comics that one.
That's a screenplay.
That's
right?
A screenplay. That one, 105 pages. The novel, totally different story, is like 300 pages.
Wow.
Yeah, that one took that was like the last 3 years. I finished the rough draft end of the summer, and now I've just been chipping away at going through it again and tightening it up. And
what's your favorite thing to write? Screenplay, comic book, novel. What did you get the most satisfaction out of completing?
You know, what goes back to what Nicky was saying about it, it's the character. Honestly, I mean, if I'm like into the character and I know what they want,
right?
And that's, if I don't get stuck, that's where I'm happy. Like, so I know that's probably a cop out, but it's true. Like,
it's a total cop out, but keep going.
Well, I mean, just like I love writing sketches still. I mean, that's like something that has.
But that's a
died.
Complete dead end. Sketch comedy's dead.
Oh man, I miss it.
Sketch comedy's dead end.
I watched SNL, the Bachelor spoof, this past week.
No,
with Tillerson.
Was it good?
It was, it was funny. Like, it was about not Tillerson. What's the the guy that's like trying to get Trump? Why am I blanking on his name?
Mueller.
Mueller. He was like trying to say that he can't get him for collusion, and it's upsetting to the. It was funny, but no. I mean, it's all about the character. I mean, I guess a more or less cheating answer would be novels are. Like, there's so many different balls in the air, at least with the ones I've... Like, the recent one I wrote with the various characters, that one really keeps you on your toes. But,
It's a different, totally different form of writing. You have to really vividly paint a picture when you're writing a novel.
Yeah.
Like, you have to let people know where you are and what's in the room and what's going on. Like, and you're in everybody's head, and you have to explain what's everyone's... motivations in all the characters' heads, and it's like, it's not like a screenplay where it's just sort of like
less
you're just
is more,
You
want to get to the action,
yeah.
No, and that's like something I have to break myself up when I switch. You're right,
I can see where that's
right.
Way more.
But then, with Playground, I have in the back to get kids even more involved is activity pages. Like, you could, there's a coloring page in there for you.
That's awesome.
There's you can design your own superpower, like name,
but you're decreasing the value by writing inside the comic book.
Well, that's true.
But did you think about that?
Well, if I sign it, that diminishes the defacing.
So you're saying buy two?
Yeah,
buy one just to keep.
But no, I got a game for the both of you, okay? Because I have in here, like, for future playgrounds, I want to have new powers. Like right now, his central powers are freeze tag, Simon Says, Mother May I, any of those are real when he plays them. Red Rover and TV tag. So,
dude, TV tag. Oh, I love that game.
That one, when he names a TV show, it becomes real. Those characters, like, kind of
appear.
Can you
do YouTube shows now?
Well, I guess you would have to. All right, so YouTube tag.
There's
the new one. Right, that was my next question.
That would not be as interesting.
Yeah, what would be a YouTube character? Like, unboxing?
I don't know. Yeah,
kids
unboxing.
Kids love watching, like, people, like, open presents.
Those guys that play Minecraft.
Aren't they all, like, Swedish and...
Was it PewDiePie?
PewDiePie. But can you guys name a childhood game of that ilk?
Jailbreak.
Duck Goose. All right, so there we go. So how do you play Jailbreak?
And you touch the guy. You tag someone, they go to jail. And they have to stay in that place until someone on their team comes by and frees them.
So I'm going to steal that from you.
No.
That can...
You cannot. Because I'm actually writing my own Playground comic books.
So that would be...
Jailbreak, there you go. Jailbreak.
But not Jailbait.
I was actually in a sketch show called Jailbreak.
I think I do remember that. That was a great show.
I was the music for one of those.
Yeah, you were the music for...
You were like the... Wow.
The one we did at the Comedy Central.
Our budding...
I saw that show.
Yeah.
Wow, that was like... That was big time.
It was... Yeah, no. Nothing happened. Nothing happened from it.
They stopped after two runs, and that was it.
No, we only did one show at Comedy Central.
Well, you did one at Comedy Central, you did one at somewhere else. where I was upstairs in a loft or something.
Oh yeah, that was at that
that festival where you had me fill in with Ted.
With the smelly.
We did like the Back to the Future Lethal Weapon mashup.
Oh, that was my favorite. Those Ted was Marty McFly. And yeah. You were
just
who are you?
I was like the sergeant at the police station, just yelling at
That's
him.
Right, because we had Marty McFly. Oh my god, that was so funny.
He's the perfect Marty McFly.
He really is.
I mean, that he just needs that.
Remember we had the sketch and what was near and the sketch show you and Ted did. I directed or didn't direct. I just stood back there and laughed. When you guys had the Marty McFly thing, and he had the little remote control DeLorean,
yes.
And he just got stuck on the wall. God, it's terrible. Sketch comedy's dead.
That was fun. That was Aftermath, right?
That might have been Aftermath, mm-hmm. or yeah, it might have been Aftermath.
Aftermath,
I think, or Rebellion.
Rebellion. That
Rebellion.
That was a hit that kept on going.
It was.
So, did you already plan out your sequels for each, then graphic novel or the novel, and then?
I have the continuation of this is already like mostly written. I just haven't started the illustration side of that. I mean, the character Felix is getting he defeats Principal Strict. So there's the spoiler, because the bad guy in this he's the principal of the school, and he can give you ice cream headaches and manipulate candy to like do his bidding and like hurt you.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they stop him with a game of duck duck goose, where Felix in the end there says duck duck lion, and he becomes a lion and jumps on the principal, and the principal gives up
and eats him, rips him apart.
Well, close. Well, the recess bell rings. And that kind of ends the spell of this battle. But then off to the side was this woman in a pink spacesuit and this General Patton-looking dude, and they're like, we got to recruit this guy. So that's kind of where it leaves off.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
that's a great way to end it.
They're members of Hobby Squad, where he's going to join later and join Stickers with her sticker book that she can touch anything. It becomes real. Fake Tats, where he's he can just get fake tattooed to a wall, and it's kind of like Flat Man or Elastic Man.
Right, right.
And Patch is a little cute kitten with a patch.
That's tough.
And what was your muse with all of this? Was it your kids? Was it
students? I can get serious for a second if you want me to. No. I came up... I had.
We did the cancer episode last time.
Oh, we did. All right. So, that was it. I mean, all right. So that was. I mean, I was sick. I had Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I had
stage 4. Right. It was pretty.
Yeah.
It was bad.
It wasn't good.
It was bad.
It was stage 4B. But yeah, it was. I was had a lot of time on my hands in chemo and radiation, and then the idea just popped into my head, and then I beat it. And a few years later, I had Felix, my son, and then I just started writing it.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it was.
Dude, how is your publisher not? That's such a great story.
they have their they don't like that we won the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, so. They're still bitter.
It's a lot of grudge. It's a lot of bad blood there.
All their comic book writers. Let them just sit on a shelf.
But yeah, I mean, there's like. All ages comics are getting bigger and bigger. I mean, with Colton, you mentioned like Captain Underpants and all that, but I mean, there's so much stuff out now, like non-Marvel and DC. There's just a ton of all ages comics. Gene Luen Yang is like my hero. That guy, American Born Chinese, is an awesome book of his. Like, he has countless amazing books, but he's been doing this so well. He's actually writing the Chinese Superman in DC. Like, they have a Superman over in China. That's been pretty awesome. But the world is like just exploding. Like, all these different publishers out here and across the planet are just getting into the all ages comics, because kids are reading like crazy, and they don't always want the capes and the tights, though that's awesome too.
Yeah,
you just hurt Eddie's feelings. Well, he's Eddie, all about the capes and
I was
the
wondering why he's wearing tights right now. It's kinda...
You can tell. Thought I had enough clothes on.
Underneath, it's your super suit.
And as a musician, like a lot of comic book writers now and creators are getting like musicians and whatnot to like create playlists for their comics. Or like there's on Spotify, there's some comic books out there that have a specific playlist by like a band or whatever that you're like a soundtrack that you listen to as you read. If you're reading issue 1, you should be hit play now and just kind of as like a movie soundtrack but for your comic book.
You should totally do that.
I know. I want to do
that. Version? Yeah, that would totally be amazing.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
But you'd have to you'd have to get a bunch of kids, I guess.
Well, I don't even mean like
Adam
kids.
Does great kid voices. Don't you?
Do you?
He's putting
whip them out. Do all 6 of them.
I could do like a bad Gomer Pyle.
Let's hear it.
Go away.
See, there you go.
Everybody knows Gomer, right?
Yeah.
Well, I can do...
no one born 20 years, the last 20 years know him, but...
I can do Squidward.
You can?
Not really. No, that's...
Don't say you can.
Well, I can try.
Point. Try, go
all
for
right,
it.
I'm going to try it. Ready? All right, class.
Oh, my God.
That was
horrendous.
This is the lack of commitment, the lack of talent. That was lacking everything.
That's not even talking about execution.
Oh, my God.
Come on now.
All right, that was not
scary. I was dead before it came out of your mouth.
Well, I can do a good Donald Duck.
That's I don't. Right. Okay. Come on. You said right. That about Squidward.
No, this is it. This is all right.
Why didn't you lead with that? Why did you do the Squidward when you knew you had that in the back pocket?
No, I could do Squidward, but you're making me nervous.
Why? There's six people listening, and three of them are in the room right now.
That's more sales than my comic book.
That's true. That's two more than what you've sold.
No, it's been. I mean, it's been fun, and getting to be on your show is like it means a lot to me. You guys are, I thought it was 5 years ago or maybe 20.
No. To be honest, we usually have people back every 10 months.
I think it was like 2, less than 2. I think it was less than two years ago.
Definitely less than 2.
I've been bugging you to be on like since I was like the day after I was on.
No,
I remember when you were on. It was like you were getting ready
to get it out there.
To get it out, you said you were close to publishing.
Yes.
No, so the story was complete, and it was
That's right.
So it was probably, I don't know.
That was like the teaser of all teasers.
Yeah.
When did it arrive on your doorstep?
January, like, 15th or so.
How many copies did you get?
I have, 40 left, because, these stores have taken some, and I've been, getting them out there. So, I should get more soon.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's a true work of art. I mean, literally.
It's a good time. I mean, there's a comic book in everybody.
And wait, so did your kids read it?
Yeah.
Front to back?
Felix read it. Caroline, she paged through it.
Well, she's 5, so.
Yeah, I mean, Felix.
They're not right at the.
His gripe is that it's a cliffhanger. He wants to know what happens next.
Oh, that's good, though.
Right. So he's ready for more, and he's been making his own.
That's awesome.
He has a couple.
He's trying to upstage Dad.
He has this character, the amazing Strong John. He's like this guy that can like just do anything. He's a badass, and he's got his own guys that interact with like Skylanders and Pokemon. So there's like some lawyers we've had to get involved as far as trademark issues,
some cease and desist orders that we've had to throw under the rug.
But it's been fun. I mean, then the next stop will be WonderCon. I'm just going to be hitting...
When's WonderCon? Before.
In 2 weeks. You should go.
2 weeks.
It's March, the weekend of March 24th.
I'm going to be out of town.
What's the difference between WonderCon and Comic-Con?
It's the same. It's Comic-Con is like...
Gigantic.
It's
right. WonderCon's big.
WonderCon's big, but it's Comic-Con is
more
like,
focused on just comics?
A little more focused, but it still has like tons of.
It's what Comic Con used to be like 20 years ago.
Yeah, cool.
Before everyone's like thought Comic Con was the hip, cool thing to do.
Right.
And now it's become an industry thing.
But all Eddie does when he goes, because I've been a few times to these with him, he just goes to like the wrestling like autograph tables.
Yeah, that's what I do. And you just stand by the people asking trivia questions. Cool. You go, Batman versus Superman! Batman versus Superman! But
didn't you get Virgil's autograph?
I got a picture with Virgil.
A picture.
Wait, I met Virgil. You mean Million Dollar Man, Virgil?
Yeah.
Yeah, I met them. Did they go to all of them?
At least some of, yeah, Virgil does.
Virgil's
everywhere. That's how a lot of them make their living.
Million Dollar Man died, I think, right?
No, Teddy Biasi's still around.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
What about Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
He's still around. He's doing stand-up comedy now.
Hillbilly Jim?
Hillbilly Jim's going to the WWE Hall of Fame this year.
Where is
Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
It's a virtual Hall of Fame. There's no actual physical Hall of Fame.
There should be. In Connecticut.
They induct new people in every WrestleMania.
Wow. They should have like a museum.
They should have a physical one, you'd think. But
why do you not have a joke about Hacksaw Jim Duggan doing comedy?
Because he sells tickets. I don't. He has sold out shows. I don't.
Does he walk around with a piece of wood?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, they sell 2x4s. He sells 2x4s after the show.
Oh, wow.
Autographs them.
So smart.
That you should sell 2x4s.
You're like, that's ridiculous. But if you saw Hacksaw Jim Duggan doing comedy, you'd be like, I want a 2x4.
Yeah.
Now, what if you had pencils with your name
Eddie
on
Pencils?
Eddie Pencils.
That could be your stage name.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I see that working.
Yeah, I shouldn't, totally, because I have no jokes
Eddie
about it.
Eddie Pencils.
Oh. You should be his manager, dude.
Yeah.
I got these, my number two right here.
That's good. Eddie, that's pretty good. You're like,
I don't know if that's good.
I got a crazy story real quick I want to talk about for 2 seconds, if that's all right.
Sure, just take the spotlight off Adam. What
well,
do you need to do?
Well, I met Quincy Jones.
That's pretty cool.
See? Pretty cool, right? Stumbled into a shop. There was a jazz artist named Alfredo Rodriguez. I got to meet Quincy Jones and have a 15-minute conversation with him. And I just did a session with one of the guys he used to work with. Mm. So I had this common ground. It was like the most synchronistic thing that probably has happened in my life. It's just like, oh, there's Quincy Jones hanging out, sitting down. Nobody's making a big deal. So I had to just get that out into the stratosphere because it was pretty insane. I mean, Quincy Jones, man. Quincy Jones.
That's pretty cool. I saw a guy from a couple episodes of Lost walking by a Starbucks.
Who, the ball guy?
No. He was like, you know, the good-looking kind of smarmy-looking guy.
Did he have a full arc on the show, or was it just sort of a couple guest spots?
I think he was on for a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was. I mean, he was. He didn't get mauled by a polar bear. Huh.
Good spot.
Yeah. You know, Lost.
So where can people find your comic book online if they're not in L.A. to buy
you it? You go to Marcosia.com, or you can go straight to Amazon. Or Barnes & Noble.
BarnesandNoble.com.
Yeah. You go to either one of them.
And hit search Playground.
Playground, Attack of the Gurglebots, or just Playground and my name.
Adam Rose.
And you will find it. And, you know, I have a bonus, like if you email me a new game idea like jailbait. That's, you know, we'll get in trouble with that one.
What is a Gurglebot, real quick?
So the Gurglebots are these vending machines that the principal had put into the school because he encourages like eating and drinking sugary things, but they transform into these killer robots when all the nice teachers are gone during recess.
That is so good.
The Gurglebots are attacking Felix and the other kids. Because the principal wanted Felix to be the hall monitor, i.e. the snitch for him. He refused. And that's what set this whole battle in motion.
That's brilliant.
But red light, green light helped save the day, along with TV Tag and Duck Duck Goose.
How did you come up with the Gurglebots, period?
That's another thing as far as like seeing how kids and like the junk they eat now, like the hot Cheetos and like the craziest. I mean, I sound like a get off my lawn kind of guy, but you know, when we were growing up, I mean, we didn't have hot Cheetos, but we, you know, it's just
had
it seems
Cheetos.
Like
you seem angry about that you didn't have hot Cheetos.
Maybe I'm just secretly like bitter, but it's just
that's what it seems like more than you being the other way about.
I'm trying to like poke fun at like all these like just. Like unhealthy things that were just shoving down kids'
throats.
That you
didn't get to eat when you were
young. That I did not get to eat, so it's not fair.
I see where it's coming from.
And I want them to just, you know, not have them, like, because I want them.
that's why the world goes around. All right, so go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble, search Playground or Adam Rose.
And if you're in the L.A. area, and I'm trying to go to
Apple
stores. Golden Apple,
which is a very famous comic book shop.
Yeah, I'm so psyched to be in there.
That's
Comics
awesome.
Versus
that's
Toys.
Amazing.
Romans. I'm going to Comic Bug this weekend to talk to them, so if you're listening...
You ever going to Meltdown? You try to get into Meltdown? Or?
They have one, and I haven't heard back. So we'll see. Those Meltdown guys.
Yeah, they're the new It place.
What about your garage?
My garage? You can put one in my garage.
All right, here it is.
Okay, I'll put that one in. I'll go with my my long white box. I might give it a cardboard back. I might.
It hurts.
All right, Adam. Well, thanks for coming by, buddy.
Yeah,
this has been great. And
so
I'll be back.
Let us know
in
when the novel gets published.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We'll be back in 10 years.
No, not 10 years. We'll have you back within 10 months.
I'm talking Adam years.
Oh, that's
10 years. Okay, that's a good call.
No, I really appreciate it, guys. It's been awesome.
Yeah.
No,
thanks for
seriously.
Congrats. I don't know if anybody's told you that yet, but I'm sure they have.
No, thanks,
if
man.
If not, congrats. That's amazing.
Appreciate it.
That's amazing. Get it.
Playground.
Get it.
Attack of the Gurglebots.